Chapter 33. If the mere chance of becoming a baronet's daughter can procure a lady such homage in the world, surely, surely we may respect the agonies of a young woman who has lost the opportunity of becoming a baronet's wife. Who would have dreamed of Lady Crawley dying so soon? She was one of those sickly women that might have lasted these 10 years, Rebecca thought to herself, in all the woes of repentance, and I might have been my lady. I might have let that old man wither I would. I might have thanked Mrs. Bute for her patronage, and Mr. Pitt for his insufferable condescension. I would have had the townhouse newly furnished and decorated. I would have had the handsomest carriage in London, and a box at the opera, and I would have been presented next season. All this might have been, and now all was doubt and mystery. But Rebecca was a young lady of too much resolution and energy of character to permit herself much useless and unseemly sorrow for the irrevocable past. So, having devoted only the proper portion of regret to it, she wisely turned her whole attention towards the future, which was now vastly more important to her. And she surveyed her position, and its hopes, doubts, and chances. In the first place, she was married, that was a great fact. Sir Pitt knew it. She was not so much surprised into the avowal as induced to make it by a sudden calculation. It must have come someday. And why not now, as at a later period? He who would have married her himself must at least be silent with regard to her marriage. How Miss Crawley would bear the news was the great question. Misgivings Rebecca had. But she remembered all Miss Crawley had said. The old lady's avowed contempt for birth, her daring liberal opinions, her general romantic propensities, her almost doting attachment to her nephew, and her repeatedly expressed fondness for Rebecca herself. She is so fond of him, Rebecca thought, that she will forgive him anything. She is so used to me that I don't think she could be comfortable without me. When the eclaircissement comes, there will be a scene, and hysterics, and a great quarrel, and then a great reconciliation. At all events, what news was there in delaying? The die was thrown, and now or tomorrow the issue must be the same. And so, resolved that Miss Crawley should have the news, the young person debated in her mind as to the best means of conveying it to her, and whether she should face the storm that must come, or fly and avoid it until its first fury was blown over. In this state of meditation she wrote the following letter. Dearest friend, the great crisis which we have debated about so often has come. Half of my secret is known, and I have thought and thought, until I am quite sure that now is the time to reveal the whole of the mystery. Sir Pitt came to me this morning and made, what do you think? A declaration in form. Think of that. Poor little me. I might have been Lady Crawley. How pleased Mrs. Bute would have been. And Ma Tant, if I had taken precedence of her. I might have been somebody's mama, instead of, oh, I tremble, when I think how soon we must tell all. Sir Pitt knows I am married, and not knowing to whom, is not very much displeased as yet. Ma Tant is actually angry that I should have refused him. But she is all kindness and graciousness. She condescends to say I would have made him a good wife, and vows that she will be a mother to your little Rebecca. She will be shaken when she first hears the news. But need we fear anything beyond a momentary anger? I think not. I am sure not. She dotes upon you so, you naughty, good-for-nothing man, that she would pardon you anything. And, indeed, I believe, the next place in her heart is mine. And that she would be miserable without me. Dearest, something tells me we shall conquer. You shall leave that odious regiment. Quit gaming, racing, and be a good boy, and we shall all live in Park Lane, and Ma Tant shall leave us all her money. I shall try, and walk tomorrow at 3 in the usual place. If Miss B accompanies me, you must come to dinner, and bring an answer, and put it in the 3rd volume of Portis's Sermons. But, at all events, come to your own, R, to Miss Eliza Stiles, at Mr. Barnett's, Saddler, Knightsbridge. and I trust there is no reader of this little story who has not discernment enough to perceive that the Miss Eliza Styles, an old schoolfellow, Rebecca said, with whom as he had resumed an active correspondence of late, and who used to fetch these letters from the saddlers, wore brass spurs, and large curling mustachios, and was indeed no other than Captain Rawdon Crawley. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.